Today, just the start as markets are rocked by rotations, BSOD, politics, and more. Hello again, it's Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, from the latest post covering finance and property news. And this is our weekly market update where we start in the US, go across to Europe, Asia, and in Australia, and also cover commodities and crypto. In the past week, it's been packed full of contradictory signals once again, with world stock indices falling on Friday as a global cyber outage rattled investors by disrupting operations across multiple industries, while the dollar climbed alongside Treasury yields. All three US indices fell as the S&P 500 and NASDAQ registered their biggest weekly percentage decline since April, while gold briefly traded below $2,400 an ounce, and oil fell 3% to trade below $83 a barrel, and iron ore slid 1%, while the second quarter earnings season is off to a, well, frankly, mixed start. A growing number of analysts and strategists are telling clients there is fragility amongst the stock giants that have touched highs recently. So now the dilemma for investors is, after 10 months of big rallies, should investors stick with the big winners or change tack? Remember, history says wealth is created by a tiny number of companies, and most stocks will make investors poorer. Bank of America data shows in the past 20 years, 54 companies accounted for half of the returns of the MSCI World Index. In the past 3 years, just four companies, Nvidia, Microsoft, Apple, and pharmaceutical giant Eli Lilly, have delivered half of the returns. Oh, and in 2024, the number of companies delivering 50% of the returns increased to six, with Meta Platforms and Taiwan chipmaker TSMC joining the list. This week, a professor from Arizona State University, Hendrik Bessenbrenner, released the latest in his long series of papers examining shareholder returns between 1925 and the current day. His research is famous for establishing that over those decades, the majority of US stocks at 59% were actually a drag on investors' wealth, and just 4% accounted for all of the net wealth creation in that period when compared with simply holding US Treasury bills. The crux of his research is to show that extreme winners make a huge difference to an investor's returns. The challenge, of course, is knowing how to find those extreme winners and when to cut and run. But there was a surge of cash into small caps, flowing into shares in the Russell 2000 index and the like. And of course, we had the massive tech disruption thanks to CrowdStrike's update that crashed Windows systems around the globe, although now a fix has been deployed. Cashless society, anyone? Small caps and equal weight benchmarks did better than the big tech players, and this may well continue unless the big tech stocks' second quarter reports cause analysts to raise sales estimates for the second half of 2024 and into 2025. There's a risk of a setback for the equities over the summer, according to Goldman Sachs, who say that the market is more likely to see a correction than a bear market in the second half. They say investors are concerned that sales forecasts for hyperscalers have not risen commensurate with the AI investment spending. Alphabet and Tesla are the first two of the Magnificent Seven to report. That's after the markets close on Tuesday. The market is overbought, but analysts are split on whether the strong breadth improvements will be bullish for stocks moving forward, or whether there'll be a rotation away from technology, and that will be where most of the growth has been, and that means that the markets will fall. If we were to see the powerful combination of strong tech earnings and softening inflation, then that could reverse the market's recent weakness and spark a new leg higher in stocks. And investors, of course, are flocking to US equities as they grow more certain of a September cut by the Fed and possibly that Donald Trump will win the US presidential election. That's according to Michael Hartnett from the Bank of America. But he also warns that stocks will slide after the Fed rate cut, calling it a buy rumor, sell fact opportunity. His team is also bullish on bonds as he expects any new tariffs enabled by Trump over the next 12 months to be deflationary rather than inflationary, and that's opposed to market expectations. MSCI's gauge of stocks across the globe fell 0.8%. The Stoxx 600 fell 0.77%, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average fell 0.93% to 40,287. The S&P 500 lost 0.71% to 5,505, and the Nasdaq Composite lost 0.81% to 70,732. On a weekly basis, both the Nasdaq and the S&P 500 logged their worst week since April, while the Dow, having reached a series of all-time closing highs earlier in the week, posted a Friday-to-Friday gain. The S&P 500's technology sector has dropped by nearly 6% in just over a week, shedding about $900 billion in market value, as growing expectations of interest rate cuts and a second Donald Trump presidency draws money away from this year's winners and into sectors that have languished through 2024 so far. In addition, semiconductor shares were hit hard after a report earlier in the week said that the US was mulling tighter curbs on exports of advanced semiconductor technology to China. The Philadelphia SE Semiconductor Index has tumbled about 8% since last week. But the S&P 500 has fared somewhat better, losing just 1.6% in over a week, with declines in tech partly offset by sharp gains in areas such as financials, industrials, and small caps. The benchmark index is still up more than 16% so far this year. The volatility index, the fear gauge, touched its highest level since late April. And the small cap index, the Russell 2000, ended the week in the positive, despite a small Friday fall, and is underpinned by this rotation into small caps as investors price in sooner rate cuts that will boost performance in this sector. Cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike fell 11.1% after an update to one of its products appeared to trigger the outage that affected customers using Microsoft's Windows operating system, disrupting businesses across many sectors. Microsoft itself ended down just 0.7% though. Netflix fell 1.5% after reporting weaker than expected revenue guidance that overshadowed better than expected quarterly results. The streaming giant, however, also touted further efforts to boost its ad tier streaming after phasing out the basic ad-free version in the US and France. Arm's holdings were up 3%, sidestepping the weakness in tech after Morgan Stanley upgraded its ratings on the chip designer to overweight from equal weight amid AI-led optimism. But American Express stocks fell over 2% after the credit card giant reported disappointing revenue growth, even as it beat estimates for second quarter profit, as its wealthy customers continue to spend. The dollar index, which measures the greenback against a basket of currencies, including the yen and the euro, climbed, bouncing back on recent US economic data and concerns about the technology outage. It gained 0.21% to 104.36, with the euro down 0.14% at 1.0885. Against the Japanese yen, the dollar strengthened 0.06% to 157.48. US Treasury yields rose as investors waited on fresh data next week. The yield on the benchmark 10-year note rose to 4.241% from 4.188% late on Thursday. While yields declined recently on signs of a weakening economy, several bond managers at some of the country's largest asset management companies expect long-term treasuries to remain vulnerable to price drops, meaning higher yields, as government deficits are expected to widen due to higher spending, and that includes on debt interest payments. Investment strategist BlackRock, the world's largest money manager with $10.65 trillion in assets, recently said they were bearish on long-dated treasuries as investors will likely ask for more compensation to hold them because of increased supply. And the two-year treasury was last at 4.517. The Federal Reserve is scheduled for its next policy announcement at the end of July, and markets expect only a slight chance of a cut of at least 25 basis points, but almost are completely pricing in a cut in September. Federal Reserve Bank of New York President John Williams reiterated recently the central bank commitment to bring inflation down to its 2% target. Oil prices fell as investors eyed a possible ceasefire in Gaza, and US crude dropped to $78.65 a barrel, while Brent fell to $82.66. Analysts have forecast that Brent crude oil prices could end the year at around $87 a barrel, supported by strong demand and OPEC Plus efforts to balance the market. A stronger US currency, by the way, dampens demand for dollar-denominated oil from buyers holding other currencies, and there is also weaker demand possibly from China. UBS strategists also expect the copper market to remain in a deficit from a fundamental perspective and forecast the metal to continue to rise. For gold, the bank retains its bullish view primarily due to strong central bank reserve diversification demand and its role as a portfolio hedge ahead of the US elections. In their base case, UBS forecasts gold rising to $2,600 per ounce by the end of the year and $2,700 per ounce by the middle of 2025. But gold futures were last at $2,402.90. In Europe, London stocks finished the week lower amid a global cyber outage on Friday as investors assessed a fall in domestic retail sales in June, while commodity-linked stocks dropped, trapping declines in the prices of copper, gold and other metals. The blue-chip FTSE was down 0.6% and the mid-cap FTSE 250 was off 0.8%. Both indices snapped 2 weeks of consecutive gains. Aerospace and defence stocks were the only outliers, with a 0.7% gain amid the broader declines after senior executives from British defence firms met the Ukrainian president to discuss the need to boost military support for his country in its conflict with Russia. Investors parsed through domestic retail sales data that showed a bigger-than-expected 1.2% drop in June following slower wages growth and inflation at the Bank of England's 2% target. The retail data pushed up bets of an August cut to 43% from roughly 39% on Thursday. European shares clocked weekly losses also as a sell-off in technology shares, some downbeat earnings, along with falling commodity-linked stocks weighed, ending a tumultuous week marked by a global tech outage on Friday. The Pan-European Stock 600 index closed 0.8% lower, slipping to a more than two-week low, and logged a weekly decline of more than 2%. That's the biggest weekly fall so far this year. Travel and leisure shares were among the top decliners, with a 2.1% fall, driven by an 8.3% fall in Sweden's Evolution after missing second quarter top line and earnings expectations. Miners shed 2.1% on lower commodity prices due to the lack of Chinese stimulus measures, while heavyweight energy shares slipped close to 1% amid those lower crude oil prices. Tech shares were down 1% on the day and were the worst performers across the week, tumbling nearly 9%. Lack of policy direction from the ECB following its decision to hold rates steady earlier in the week also added to investors' uncertainty. Among other stocks, Santorius was down 13.1% after the pharmaceutical equipment supplier cut its full-year guidance. Ubisoft dropped 40% after the French video game maker posted a smaller-than-expected rise in quarterly net bookings and forecast second-quarter bookings below analyst estimates. On the flip side, though, Danske Bank, Denmark's biggest lender, surged 7.7% as it beat second-quarter net profit expectations. German government bond yields fell on Friday after economic survey data for the Eurozone came in weaker than expected, supporting expectations for policy rate cuts. Euro area business growth deaccelerated sharply over the month as demand fell for the first time since February, according to survey-based data on Friday. Weak demand dragged down France's business activity as the country headed through its snap parliamentary election, while an upturn in Germany slowed in June. German 10-year bonds, the benchmark for the euro area, were last at 2.4645. But French 10-year yields fell in morning trade before reversing course later in the day to trade roughly flat at 3.13%, so there's still a gap between the French and German 10-year yields. Most Asian stocks fell on Friday amid persistent concerns over a new trade war between the US and China, while positive earnings from TSMC did little to stop the rout in technology stocks. China's Shanghai Shenzhen CSI 300 and Shanghai Composite indices fell slightly on Friday, although they were trading above intraday lows. Media reports this week suggest that the US was considering stricter trade restrictions against China, especially the country's technology and chip-making sectors. The report ramped up concerns over a renewed trade war between Beijing and Washington, given that trade relations between the two are already strained. Speculation over a second Donald Trump presidency also dented Chinese stocks, given that Trump has maintained a largely negative rhetoric against Beijing. China's economic data continues to weaken, said ANZ Bank. GDP growth was only 4.7% in the second quarter, while home sales and property investment were also weaker. This comes as the steel industry enters its quieter summer period, where demand tends to weaken. At the end of the Communist Party meeting this week, Chinese officials acknowledged that the sweeping list of economic goals contains many complex contradictions and pointed to a bumpy road for policy implementation. And the 4.7% second quarter growth does show some concerns about its demand for oil. Still, losses in Chinese stocks were dampened by the promise of more supportive policy from the Chinese government as the third plenum of the Chinese Communist Party carried on. Technology-heavy indices were the worst performers in Asia as the sector continued to grapple with profit-taking and as expectations of interest rate cuts sparked a broad pivot into economically sensitive sectors. Losses in tech dragged the Japan's Nikkei 225 down 0.4%, while Hong Kong's Hang Seng slid over 2%. South Korea's KOSPI shed 1.5% in losses in chip-making stocks. Chip-making stocks slid even as the industry major TSMC clocked stronger than expected earnings for the second quarter and upgraded its outlook on the prospect of strong demand from AI. The firm's Taipei shares fell 2% as sentiment towards Taiwan was also rattled by comments from US Republican presidential candidate Trump, who said that Taiwan should pay the US for defense supplies. Japan's TOPIX fell 0.6% as softer-than-expected consumer price data raised questions over whether the Bank of Japan will hike interest rates anytime soon. India's Nifty 50 index neared a record high 25,000 points, then eased back to 24,530. Australian shares fell in their third session of losses this week as falling commodity prices pressurised the mining sector and technology stocks tracked a sell-off on Wall Street. On Friday, the ASX 200 dropped 0.8% to 7,971 to take the flagship index losses of the week to 0.1% as it dropped back below the 8,000 after hitting a record closing high of 8,057.9 on Wednesday. The ASX Small Ordinaries Index was 2.5% lower this week, wiping out much of the 3.3% gain from a week earlier. On the local share market, the worst performing sector was materials, down 1.5%. Iron ore, gold and copper prices all dropped overnight, with commodities weaknesses dragging the Australian dollar down 0.3% to 66.87 at the closing bell. The broader materials sector lost 2%. Bank shares also weighed on the index, with Commonwealth Bank down 0.8% at $131.63 and ANZ fell 1.2% to $29.71. Meanwhile, local banking supervisor APRA agreed to reduce the amount of capital that Westpac must hold in reserve by $500 million in response to the lender's improved risk management. Shares fell 0.9% to $28.22, in line with other losses across the banking sector. Homebuilder Lifestyle Communities also pulled all forward earnings and operational guidance, blaming its decision on the media and uncertainty over its construction business. Shares plunged 13.9% to $9.51. Shares in Afterpay owner Block fell 4.3% to $102.23. Squares announced that it's to close the operation of its Cash App peer-to-peer payments business in the UK. When the ASX 200 hit 8,000, there was actually very little celebration, partly reflecting the deteriorating economic backdrop, with growth slowing but interest rates still possibly rising. It probably also reflects the fact that the local market's struggle for momentum took 4.5 years for the ASX 200 to go from 7,000 to 8,000. What suddenly became known as a great rotation trade petered out a little on Thursday night, but there is still no shortage of analysts and strategists suggesting investors need to start to look beyond the big tech names that have driven the market. As with global stocks, the concentration in the Asia-Pacific region is at a 35-year high. And CBA, which has been the fourth largest contributor of returns in the region over the past 20 years on Bank of America's numbers, has been a prime mover. It's one of just eight stocks that have delivered 80% of the gains in the MSCI Asia Pacific Sudan Japan Index this year. The analyst cries that CBI is wildly overvalued, may have reached a peak this week when Barrenjoey's gun bank analyst John Mott published a comparison of CBA and JP Morgan that showed CBA's valuation premium over the $900 billion US bank giant had increased from 9% in 2017 to 96%, all while its earnings have stayed flat over the period. We acknowledge that CBA is too expensive is a consensus call, Mott wrote. However, we cannot remember what occasions where a stock has traded so far from fundamentals. Its peers, both domestically and internationally, and its own history, CBA's PE is now 3.8 standard deviations above its 30-year average, without offering a growth or takeover upside story. And in crypto, Bitcoin rose just above 66,000 on July the 17th, before falling below 65,000, then retested that level for most of July the 18th. According to market analysts, 65,000 may be seen as a strong resistance level, but it was last at 66,641. So what do we make of all this? Well, the momentum that we saw early in the year is now in question. There are a number of unknown issues, of course, not least the election in the US, the question of rate hikes or rate cuts, and more broadly, significant uncertainty about whether the rotation out of tech will continue or not. But I come back to this simple point. September and October tend to be the most wobbly points in the year for the markets. So it is likely that we're going to go sideways or down from here and probably test some new lows in the next 1 or 2 months ahead. But of course, there's always a risk of more left of field issues, more blue screens of death, or perhaps black swans. So we are to reflect on this simple fact. Markets are overvalued dramatically. And actually, CBA is an archetypal example of just that. No fundamentals can explain where CBA's value is, and yet there it remains. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.